Two of Jackson County's commissioners are retiring, opting not to run in this election, which means two of the three seats will feature new occupants come January. Don Skundrick's retirement in position one paved the way for several candidates to file. We talked to Republican candidate Rick Dyer yesterday. Today we meet Tanya Morrow, who became the Democratic candidate by write-in vote in the primary. Tanya Morrow, welcome to the Jefferson Exchange.
Thank you very much for having me.
Give us your occupational background, law school and more, it seems like.
Yeah, law school. When I was about 24, I decided I wanted to live in Oregon, so I worked it out so that I can attend my third year of law school at Lewis and Clark. I worked for a land use firm up there for a little bit while I took the bar, and then came down here for a job interview and decided to stay, job or not. And didn't get the job, but soon ended up with working with a law firm that was doing some land use work. It was actually just a sole proprietor and I, but that led to a representation of several cities, the city of Talent as general counsel, city of Gold Hill and Shady Cove as general counsel, excuse me, and the city of Jacksonville as special land use counsel. And that experience was a rich experience, and all of those local governments have budgets and to oversee, and we also did a little bit of oversight and supervision with regard to special counsel regarding, you know, financial bond issues and that kind of thing. So it was a good experience. However, I decided I really liked appellate law. So and I was pretty successful with regard to land use. In fact, I had a Oregon State Supreme Court decision that ultimately led the Land Conservation and Development Commission to have to rewrite some rules regarding siting schools. But I ended up going into federal criminal defense work as a member of the criminal justice panel in 1993, and just emphasized that work because it got me in front of the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals. So that's been a majority of my practice lately. But that practice gives me a certain skill set, and it makes me capable of the courage to critically think, creatively think, and stand up and argue whenever I need to. It also provides an ability to understand your audience, listen, and find the commonalities to move the debate. And all of those skills I'll be bringing to this position if I'm elected. I also, real quickly, I'm a former past president of Quail Point Rotary, so I was involved in the community at that level for a while, and will be joining a club again soon. I also have been on the board of OnTrack, the Addiction Recovery Center, for about 8 years, and it's been a joy to watch Rita Sullivan and be able to assist her in the development of OnTrack over the years.
You've been busy, but is it safe to say that as this year began, you had no intention of running for office?
I didn't have an intention. I had some thoughts about it, but because I've been sort of cloistered in my federal court world, which is very small, I had decided, maybe I'll give it a couple years and I'll plug into the community a little bit more than I have. But when I found out that no Democrat had decided to run and step up, it was time to just go ahead and do it. So I'm glad to be in it. It's been a really fun thing and a challenge, but campaigning's been great.
Tanya Morrow's our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, Democratic candidate for Jackson County Commissioner, position 1-800-838-3760, if you'd like to call. If you'd like to email, jx@jeffnet.org. Your website talks about you want to promote energy technology, agricultural production, high-tech manufacturing, and a workforce with strong capabilities in technological innovation. So the question we always get back to with county commissioners is, how much do you really have sway over the economic development area?
I think we have a lot of sway. I think we've ignored that area for too long, and that's the reason I'm in this. We've had a brain drain going on with our young people that are college educated, and we need to stop that. So, yes, there are many, many different ways that a county commissioner can foster economic development. We have our own committee. We fund other organizations that have been doing the work for years. So Ready, Sustainable Valleys, and now we're actually funding as well Mr. Van Holly's proposal. We've also just recently contributed money to Rogue Community College for workforce development kind of stuff. So that's the kind of stuff we need to do. But included in that is focusing on our infrastructure, because the good businesses that we want here, they're going to want good government. They're going to want, an operational law enforcement. They're going to want roads maintained. They're going to want libraries open, and they're going to want really clear land use rules. So that's also part of economic development. In fact, you know, when it comes down to it, the whole role of the county in many ways is about quality of life, and that's all related to economic development.
It sounds like kind of an image of keeping the ship in order.
Absolutely, and making our community vibrant so people want to invest here, whether it's people coming in or our own people.
So where does vibrancy lack now? I mean, if you were a county commissioner at this moment, what would you have been doing for the last couple of years to show that sense of vibrancy?
Well, we've been lagging behind. So we don't have the living wage jobs that we need to have. We don't have, you know, we don't have jobs, and we also don't have the wages that we need. So wherever it comes and is what we need to do. And I agree with those that are doing the work. We need to focus on high-tech development, high-tech or advanced manufacturing, as they call it, specialty food products and that kind of value-added agriculture. Those are our strengths. We just need to build on those. But I do have – there is a particular area I think we need to focus on too and seize the opportunities that will be coming, and that is transitioning to clean energy so we can keep our – We can put people to work renovating our buildings and our homes and our commercial buildings and our industrial buildings, and we can keep our money here as opposed to sending off those monthly amounts to Pacific Power and Avista.
When you talk about things like resilient infrastructure and clean energy, you're talking about bracing against the effects of, I think the term you use is climate change, but global warming by, you know, whatever name. So clearly you do believe in global warming, human cause. Rick Dyer yesterday explained that he did not.
Yes, I do. I think the science is reliable. We don't need to necessarily have a debate over the science, as far as I'm concerned at this point. What's important is again moving us to clean energy, and that'll help address some of the issues. But again, you're right. One of my platforms is to take a look at that infrastructure and make sure that it is we have the capacity to adapt to whether it's new technology. You know, we need to be proactive about understanding what's coming our way, whether it's GMOs or anything else, but also the effects of extreme weather, drought, and fire. So those are definitely the things that I will be focusing on.
Any government certainly is limited by its budget, and we've watched in Jackson County, as the two counties to the west, Josephine and Curry, have watched their timber revenues crash, as Jackson County's has as well, but without enough of a safety net and money in the bank to be able to continue services. You look at the bare-bones staff at the Josephine County Sheriff's Office, and people wonder in Jackson County, can this happen here?
I hate to be critical of the other counties, but to a certain extent, it has to do with planning and having the staff and having the efforts that we put in over the last years to maintain, you know, management efficiency. We're now at a critical time, though, where we can move beyond that. Governing the county is more than just management efficiency. It's also about accountability and making sure that we are serving the people. So their problems are something that I think they can resolve. We don't have the answers to them. What I want to make sure we're doing is we're assisting them where we can, but we're also focusing on making our community extremely vibrant.
Tanya Morrow, again, our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, Democratic candidate for Jackson County Commissioner Position 1. The Republican is Rick Dyer. He joined us yesterday. There are two other party candidates. You can join us at 800-838-3760 or jx@jeffnet.org. Email from Alan in Talent wants to know the biggest differences on the issues between you and Rick Dyer.
I think Mr. Dyer tends to just focus on management efficiency, and I see myself doing much more than that, and I can hit the ground running. I don't need on-the-job training. I understand policy, and so I will intend to be out in the community finding out what the needs are and building coalitions and making sure that government is empowering people and making the community resilient. I don't want to interfere. I don't want government to be interfering, but I do believe we have the ability to empower. So I will be in the community and building coalitions and getting people to work on some of our concerns and problems.
A couple of areas to go back to. We talked about jobs, certainly economic development. There is the Jordan Cove gas the liquefied natural gas export terminal proposed for Coos Bay. Obviously, that's Coos County, but the pipeline would cross Jackson County. So do you have a position on that?
Yes, I have some real concerns about the use of eminent domain under the National Gas Act, and that it just bothers me, the possibility that tool be used in the context of some of our community members. But beyond that, it's just the wrong kind of infrastructure. I understand, you know, the jobs that will be created are mostly are temporary. There's going to be jobs at the facility, but probably a large number of them will be brought in. It's just the wrong infrastructure. We don't need to be exporting those resources. And so I don't support it. I do understand that Coos County will be losing what is a more significant revenue, which is the tax payment that essentially the project will provide them. But we'll just need to help encourage Coos County to find other projects that have more of a long-term value for us.
We kind of graze the overall issue of the county budget in the sense that the timber counties of Western Oregon historically have that income from the old ONC Railroad grant lands. There are two congressional proposals in existence to open up the former ONC lands to more logging to provide more money for county budgets in Western Oregon. Do you favor either one?
I haven't completely studied the issue, but at this point, I don't. I think same thing. It's not applying the long-term view that we need to apply. I think I'm really concerned about both proposals undermining the work of really diverse stakeholders that have been going on in the last 10, 15 years to come up with management prescriptions that provide for multiple use, that provide for clean water, provide for salmon habitat, provide for timber production, and provide for recreational values. And I think that's the approach we need to continue. We don't need to be looking backwards and carving up our forest and, you know, allowing clear cutting again.
But then you get the people who say, well, wait a minute, but the federal government owns all this land in the county and doesn't pay any taxes on it, which is why they were giving us the timber funding. So is there something the federal government should be doing?
I agree. I do agree that we have a right to demand some resources back. But the first thing I want to focus on is getting the federal government to manage those forests for our health and safety purposes. There's biomass out there that needs to come out. So we'll be putting people to work doing that. And that's great. But, you know, there are other ways of thinking about this issue, about how we are the somewhat stewards of this land as well, and don't have the tax proceeds. And one of them, frankly, I've thrown out is we need to consider whether we should get a tax receipt for carbon sequestration. The value of those trees in the ground is something that I think the whole country can appreciate as well. So
they have value vertically as well.
They
as horizontally.
Do. They absolutely do. I mean, for other reasons. Yes.
The WISE project you have talked up a bit, basically turning irrigation ditches in the current day into water pipes in the future. Who benefits and who gets to pay the very big bill?
I think all the stakeholders will end up paying. I do believe that those that, you know, the irrigators, and particularly the big irrigators, they understand the value to them to be able to turn on the water every day as opposed to every 3 days, and to be able to use, you know, sprinklers and drip irrigation. So I think the money will come from all kinds of sources, and I believe that there are pools and pots of money out there. It's just a matter of actually finding them and advocating for them. It's a matter of having a view of abundance out there and going for them. I'm not talking taxes. I'm talking about just other pots of money where we can demonstrate that we have a plan of community development, and there are folks that want to assist in that kind of thing. So
obviously, there'd be construction jobs, so there'd be some job benefit there. But, I mean, are there long-term jobs created by WISE, do you think?
Well, ultimately, if we're actually able to open up 30 to 40% more of our lands to agricultural production, that's going to be bringing in some additional jobs. One of the things that I love about the project is that there is the potential to develop and to produce energy and electricity through hydro. Hydro projects along the pipeline. There's the estimate, and I haven't, all the studies they're still in the works, but the estimate I received was something like $5 million worth of electricity that can be generated. So all of that just ultimately benefits our community.
Tanya Morrow is the Democratic candidate for Jackson County Commissioner, position number one. The election, obviously, Tuesday. Ballots going back all the time right now. Tanya Morrow, thanks so much for joining us today on the Jefferson Exchange.
Thank you. It was a lot of fun.